If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love that sustains us all. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Dissolving Guilt, the Source of All Pain. Dissolving Guilt, the Source of All Pain. So, if you're ready, why don't you invite, if you like, if you choose, the Divine Spirit into your mind, into your life, into your heart, and go deep, 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 and bring to light everything that has caused you pain. Wherever you have pain, that's the sign of misperception. That's a quote from Jesus in the Course in Miracles. Wherever we have pain, it's a sign of misperception. And you will trace that misperception to a form of guilt. Some place that you've made yourself wrong, which is impossible. Everything about you is right and perfect and pure and eternal, because that's what you were made to be, identical and indistinguishable from your Creator. Let's take a deep breath, and this is your moment to choose freedom, if you wish, and ask for the presence of the Divine Spirit. Ask to have the source of your pain revealed to you. And we dedicate this time to the miraculous transformation that our simple willingness will give us. You see, it took a long time for us to become lost in self-definition and self-concepts, self-efforting, trying to recreate out of illusion that which has already been created forever in perfection. But it takes no time at all for complete transformation. That's why sometimes you'll see these miraculous, instantaneous conversions where a person with a very chaotic, negative life is transformed seemingly instantly into a new person. That's the power that enters in when we come to the end of our own machinations. We get empty of trying to do God's work or tell God how to do God's work or try to improve on God's work or try to deny God's work. all the many machinations of the false self. So let's take a deep breath together and call forward the anointing of the Holy Spirit as you feel it coming down through the top of your crown chakra and filling your whole body with light and the warmth of divine love. You may actually feel that warmth going down through your arms, your legs. It may feel like it's flowing in the veins of your blood. Did you know that your whole being, your destiny, everything in your life is rewritten to the divine perfected script? The minute you open yourself fully to spirit, did you know that? If you would take a hair sample before and after, a complete conversion experience, or having gone to see a great God being like Sai Baba, a hair sample before and after, you'd find them completely different. I bet you if you did a blood test before and after conversion, a conversion experience, a born-again experience, a tremendous turning of one's life over to God experience, or going to a greatly illumined being or avatar, that your blood is transformed. The water in your cells are transformed. Sai Baba said, every one of your sins are forgiven the minute you have his darshan. Everything is made new when you accept the Christ, the Lord, the divine spirit into your heart, into your life. That's why Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. He does, literally. Wipes your slate clean. Wipes your slate clean. You have a whole new life. And the opportunity to live it for God instead of for the ego. You see, every imperfection comes from the ego, the false self. The self that identifies as being self-sufficient apart from God. I like Wayne Dyer's description of the ego. It's the attempt to edge God out. So the ego tries to present itself as a substitute for God. And it takes the form of a very linear, hard mental attitude. It's not loving, it's judgmental and critical, and it takes that form in the part that we call the ego mind. And it's a very vindictive and judgmental and cruel and very heartless approach to life and people. It's the part that sees the glass half full, that perceives the lack, and completely has no knowledge or awareness or capacity to experience gratitude and humility. Humility is where, it's interesting, humility, the first two letters are hu. Humility. It's the state of realizing that of yourself you do nothing. God created you, God breathes you, God beats your heart. God is the animating principle that causes your body to move, that causes your intellect to cognize, to create. That actually you are simply a mechanism through which the divine spirit operates and does everything. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you of yourself can do. Nothing. The ego is completely without power. And happily, without lasting effect. It's inevitable that you will awaken and the ego will dissolve. It's inevitable. The ego is a simple, silly thought of separation. at which we forgot to laugh. You see, we have to have Hugh, H-U, more, humor. We forgot to laugh at the silly thought that we could be separated from God, abandoned and cast out into an insane world. But the insane world arose with the insane thought that we could be separate from God. And so we've been living in the insane world. That is the ego's nightmare. Separation, conflict, war, fighting, all the things you see on the news. None of those are real. They're all part of the ego's nightmare. So we invite the Holy Spirit to dissolve the guilt that has held this world in place for us, that makes us believe we have to be punished because we attempted to separate and supplant God with a false self. But we didn't do any of that, since it was impossible for it to happen. The silly little thought was instantly corrected by the Holy Spirit. That was born the instant that belief in separation came into our mind, and we forgot to laugh. That's why laughter is so important, for it completely undoes the power of the ego to do its mischief. When you have humor, when you have humility, when you have gratitude, it totally cancels out the ego completely. It's powerless. It's like an old lion with no teeth. So let's chant Hugh three times and allow that holy vibration to resonate in our mind. And again, it's an invitation to spirit. Deep breath. God, and breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. You see, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes in on the breath, because it was the breath of God that breathed into you and made you a living soul. So it's so simple to connect with God through the breath, because the breath of God is the Spirit divine. And then when you breathe out love, love is the way we walk in gratitude in this world. Do you know that? Love is the way we show gratitude for the gift of life. So whenever you are not happy and at peace, first check where you stepped out of your loving. Course of Miracles says, whenever I am not wholly joyous, it is because I have acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. Now you know what? That includes you. Do you act with loving compassion toward yourself? Do you blame, berate, judge, criticize, speak ill of yourself? If you are, you're listening to the false self, the ego. You see, the ego wants you to believe that you are guilty and will do everything in its power to remind you of every little fault that you ever made in your whole life. particularly when you want to go to sleep at night. And you're kind of, you know, you're sleepy and you're just, you know, want to go to sleep, and the ego keeps yapping and yapping and yapping and yapping. Yeah, it's that voice that never shuts up. And it wants you to believe that you're guilty and deserve punishment. Why? Because that's the way it can sustain itself here. It has to get you to believe that you are a body, and that that body is going to age and have pain and get diseased and die. It wants you to believe that. And it does a good job, doesn't it? You know, most of us have bought into that belief system. So the ego will do everything in its power to cause you to feel guilty by constantly reminding you of your past, your sins, your shortcomings, your failings, and most of all, your unworthiness. The ego wants you to believe you're a miserable sinner and, well, you know what? The only time the ego speaks in a way that might seem encouraging is when it's trying to get you to indulge in something to your detriment. It's the part that wants you to have addictive patterns, addictive desires, addictive longings, again, because these bind you to the body. These bind you to the world. So every manifestation of imperfection is a manifestation of the false self, because we are absolutely perfect in highest truth. We've never, ever left the heart of God. We're with God at home right now, right this instant. We've never left eternity. We're an immortal being right now. We're omniscient. We're omnipresent. We're having marvelous, marvelous experiences in the God realms right now. So what in the world is it down here that's you know, running all these false programs and having all these nightmares and suffering all this pain? It's a state of consciousness that has become entrapped by identifying with portions of the illusion. Become entrapped by identifying, by buying into, by believing that these things that you see in the news, that you see being portrayed in the media, that these things are actually real. And getting invested and immersed and trained in those thought systems and beliefs. And that's what keeps you here. Moreover, it keeps you in a constant state of chaos and unrest, upset. And then you don't have a clear mind to see clearly, to attune to God, to pray, to meditate, to come into that stillness that always speaks of your divinity. The ego wants to keep you busy and distracted. So if you're running like a gerbil on an unending wheel and working yourself sick and running yourself ragged, and not having any time whatsoever to be still and know that you are God, then you're probably in a great deal of pain and in a great deal of stress. And you'll get tired of that after a while, and you'll say enough already. And when you get really, really, really tired, you will ask to be shown another way. And oh boy, will the Holy Spirit rush in on that one. All you need to give is a little bit of willingness, and the Divine Spirit will come in. But it will never inflict on your free will. It will never inflict or impose itself upon you without your active, willing participation. So, the ego must do all possible to keep you from looking at yourself, from self-inquiry. The last thing it wants you to do is to have a quiet moment where you can really think, really go inside yourself, really examine your life. It doesn't want you to do that. So it'll bring up all kinds of things to keep you busy. It'll make your body look like it's sick just to keep you involved in taking care of your body. Your body is completely neutral. According to Jesus, it's absolutely neutral. It has no sensation at all. Get this. Jesus in the Course in Miracles said the body shouldn't feel good or bad. It's completely neutral. It has no feelings. What do we have that feels? What is it that causes us to feel? The mind. Interpretations of the mind are sorted out in the brain and transmitted then to the body. But it's all in consciousness. It's in the mind. It's not in the body. It's so hard for us to believe. I mean, when you stub your toe, it feels like your, you know, your body hurts. I told you the story when I stubbed my toe really, really bad when I was walking across the compound in Sai Baba's ashram. I stubbed my toe on a big rock. Oh my gosh, the pain was awful. And immediately I said, it's impossible. My body is light. My body's energy. It's impossible for it to have pain. How absurd. Instantly, the pain left. Instantly. I wish it would work like that all the time. But Baba gave me the experience of where immediately I countered the apparent experience with the truth. And the truth is, your body is light, it's energy, it's vibration. There's nothing solid at all about our bodies. They look solid, they feel solid, but that's like a trick the mind plays on us. That the fact that all seemingly solid forms are images our mind has made. Images our mind has made up. Everything. So anyway, we're being taught to see, and see through the eyes of reality and not through the eyes of the separated ego self. And one of the other things is that the ego locks you into the illusion of time and space. And again, space implies something that you have to progress to or escape from, which leaves you nowhere because spirit is present now. So the ego gets you locked into the sense of becoming something or avoiding something or trying not to repeat something, which of course by that very attempt you do repeat it. And so the ego and the sense of time, which would be also aging, all of that stuff comes in with false perception. The ego will also try to convince you that time is money, and money is power and success. And then the ego will drive you like a slave until it destroys your health through stress and overwork. In fact, there's countries where people are dying right and left are committing suicide because they are driving themselves to death through work. So it keeps you to the point that you have no time to be still, no time to do anything but try to keep pace with the ego mind's relentless demands. And it's completely cruel and pitiless and entirely materialistic in its output and its the things that it promotes and projects. So, having said that, we again want to look at what it is that causes a sensation of pain in our bodies. Pain is never in the body, although it certainly appears to be so. The body, as I've just said, is energy and light and vibration, and it's not solid at all. Its solidity has no more substance than a mirage. And in my direct experience, when I have raised my vibration way high above any sense of bodily identity or personal identity or a world, I have merged into pure light. Everything around me turned into pure light and ecstatic love. Omnipresent, ecstatic, divine love was all I was and all that existed. And everything vanished in light. Now, I have since learned, since the Divine Spirit apparently wants me to continue to do these radio shows, it allows me to densify my vibration enough that I can speak and relate. But I'm no more fooled by this apparent solidity of the world. I'm no more fooled by the things I see on TV. I have seen the truth. And the truth is stated in the Bible, that God is light. And God is the living Word. And that Word is truth. And that light is love. So you might say that our Father, our collective Father, is truth. And our collective Mother is love. And the collective Son that is birthed is wisdom, or the Christ. And that's you and me and everyone. And so we're awakening to the wisdom that in highest truth we have never, ever left home. We've never left God. People try to leave the world. It's impossible to leave the world because the world is an idea existing solely in your mind. Where are you going to leave it? Heaven is who you are and what you are forever. And when you resonate in the truth of your being, heaven is all you experience, in heaven's loveliness. And you see the face of God, the face of the Christ, everywhere you look. And you see the beauty and the light. And the good news, the gospel of the good news, that everything you see is imbued with holiness and light and love. But that seeing, you see, that seeing, that's allowing God to see through your eyes. You're no longer seeing with the body's eyes. Your eyes have become single. You're looking out of that third eye of the soul. You're looking out of the center of your head through what is also called the seat of the soul. And when you look with the eyes of soul, you see the holiness and the perfection of all people and things. And there's nothing to criticize. There's nothing to blame. There's no fault. There's nothing wrong with anyone or anything when you're looking and seeing correctly. So that's a lot to take in, I know. So pain is always within the mind. The body, you see, is ego's defiant stance against the truth. The body is the ego's fortress that says, I'm separate. I'm separate from everything and everyone. I am sovereign, not God. So the ego's defiant stance against the truth is to convince you that you are in a body and you're trapped. Yeah, not that that's funny, but maybe we should laugh at that because it's a stupid idea that we bought into. And I guess we need to remember to laugh at that. So again, pain is always in the mind and never within the body, but pain is always the manifestation of the belief that one must suffer. And that's what Sai Baba, God, the Holy Spirit, shared with me this morning during our conversation. What he shared with me this morning will apply to you and to everyone, especially those of you who are in some degree of pain, which probably is everyone, unless you're a young, healthy child. But you know what? It also applies to all of us who identify with being a light worker, sensitive, empath, a transmuter, a healer, an intercessor, or anyone believes that they are a doer or a fixer of anything on behalf of another. When you self-identify in a way that's separate from God, even though it may seem like a really positive way to identify, it's really not. It's another one of the clevernesses of the ego to try to get you to be something other than what God created you to be. God created you to be an absolute perfect replica of itself. Pure love. Purity and perfection. Purity is divinity. That's what Sai Baba always says. Purity is divinity. And, you know, when it says in the Bible, be perfect even as thy Father in heaven is perfect, the expectation is that we be as our Father, perfect. But you know what? You can't perfect yourself. You have to accept that you were created perfect by that which is greater than the self that appears in this world. So, we all have pain in some way, on some level. And what happened to me was that I was led to look deeply, deeply, deeply into my life. And I was shown areas I had confessed, areas I had already placed in the light, surrendered to God, thought I had dealt with. But I still have pain in my body, so I knew that there were still uncorrected errors in my mind. And it was interesting because I came upon something that's probably going to resonate with a lot of you folks. The belief, in my case, was that I have to suffer for Christ. That I have to bear the cross, the suffering of the Lord. That because he suffered, I have to suffer. And it went back into lifetimes in which I'd been a nun and a monk and, you know, doing all the penance and the self-flagellation and all of the stuff you do when you're trying to mortify the flesh. And I had tried to mortify the flesh in all kinds of ways. And, of course, when I would fail and fall prey to human desires or fleshly desires, of course, then would come the greater, greater chastisement of the self. And being raised, you know, with the traditional Catholic and Christian doctrines, that's reinforced the sense of the fact that you're a sinner and the fact that Christ died for you to save you from sin. But then, you know, also holding up the fact that your nature is sinful and you can never quite make it, no matter how hard you try. And I had bought into that in many lifetimes. And so when I got into the Course in Miracles and it showed me that the message of the crucifixion was not the crucifixion, but the resurrection. That nothing can kill divine love. Nothing can destroy divine love. Divine love is immortal. That was the message. Not the crucifixion, that the ego had gotten into the teachings and distorted them. And through that distortion, so many of us have suffered throughout the ages. You know, those of us that have been martyred for speaking the truth as we knew it at the time. And so it went into things that you would think were really spiritual and really positive, but I could see where the ego had twisted the understanding. And the result was self-chastisement and self-condemnation, which showed up in just all kinds of little simple, silly ways in my life of how I deprived myself of pleasure. Like it's a sin to indulge the flesh at all. Not that I haven't. But then your weakness then plays, the ego uses your weakness when you fall short of the ideals that you hold for yourself. Then it uses that to beat you bloody. So I was taken into deep, 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 deep levels, and then it came up to the biggie for me, which was believing I should have, could have, would have done something to have prevented the crucifixion of my master at the time, Jesus. I remember feeling the despair when I was watching him carrying his cross. And I was short, a woman and short, and I was leaping up trying to see over the heads of the crowd and not believing my eyes that my Lord, my Savior, my Master was, you know, carrying this cross to be crucified. It imprinted me terribly throughout many lifetimes. I cried for 4 months when I went to Sai Baba the first time. For 4 months, I didn't stop sobbing and reliving my lifetime with Jesus. And this morning, when he was showing me that, I started to cry again because that imprint was still there. So I'm speaking to a lot of light workers, I think, who have felt that we need to suffer to do our work, to be worthy, to... You know, most of us have been indoctrinated in Christianity, here in the West at least. And of course, you know, in the East, they have the mortification of the yogis doing all of these tremendously punitive austerities to, again, to master their lower nature. They go through terrible, terrible rigors, many of them, to chastise their flesh. And so I guess it's probably pretty much a part of every religious tradition. But you have to bear in mind that all religions were started by people. They were not started by Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or any of the great avatars and masters that came. They were started by followers after the fact. And when you're a follower, you're not there yet. You're not at that place where you know you're following something outside of yourself that hasn't been fully awakened and realized within yourself. That's the difference between religion and spirituality. Religion gives you a formula to kind of like training wheels, keep you on the right track, which is good. We need that. But at some point, you have to transcend all religions that have been brought through another and come to God directly yourself through direct realization. Because God dwells in you as your own spirit, as your own Atma, and is seated, well, throughout your whole being, but primarily we'll point to our heart area when we want to speak about the presence of God, which is actually referring to the chalice, which we've spoken to in many of our seminars. That repository of divine good works, that noble works, self-sacrificing works that we have deposited in that chalice. And so it's like the core of our goodness, and we all have a sense of that core of our goodness, because when we act out of the core of our goodness, we feel happy and we feel good about ourselves. And so the reward of good works actually is that feeling that you've done. You've obeyed your heart, you've obeyed your spirit, you've obeyed your better self. And Baba, you know, tells us that we need to serve. We need to be involved in serving, not because God needs our service, but because we need to overcome our self-importance and our self-involvement and our selfishness by serving. When we serve, we forget ourselves and we get involved in trying to help another person. And if you're a devotee, the correct way to do that is to do it for the master, not for the person you're serving, But for the master, you're dedicating that as a form of as an offering to the Lord. It's like, Lord, I'm doing this in your name. I'm doing this because I love you, and I want to draw near and dear to you. And God is the giver. You know, we were sitting with Sai Baba in the interview, and he held up his hands, and he said, you see these hands never take. They only give. What do you want? Swami has the ability to give you anything you want. I will give you everything you want, anything you want, until you want only what I have come to give you, namely, liberation itself. And the liberation is from wanting. You know, the very word want implies lack. So as long as you want something, you're coming out of that separated self that doesn't know it's the fullness and the wholeness of the divine. It's identifying with that ego that is lack personified. The lack, you know, the ego will never have its lack filled. It's impossible. It'll never be fulfilled. It'll never be happy. It'll never be peaceful. There's no point whatsoever in listening to anything it has to say, because everything it has to say will be critical of you and condemnatory and will enforce your sense of lack and guilt. So let me ask you, where do you believe you are worthy of punishment? Where do you believe you deserve to be punished? Where do you believe you need to suffer? Why? For what? Do you believe that God's going to judge you and punish you? I know that's really preached in a lot of different religions, but Sai Baba in the Course in Miracles said that God never punishes. God doesn't punish. God doesn't judge, because God can only see itself. It can only see perfection. It can't see falsehood, because falsehood does not exist. And nothing that God created is imperfect. Everything God created is perfect and eternal and real. And if God didn't create it, it doesn't exist. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God, the Course in Miracles. So if God didn't create it, and God created only through love and holiness and beauty and joy and bliss, then it's not real. So God didn't create time. God didn't create space. God didn't create karma. Who did? Well, you might say, demigods and spirits that were part of the ego's nightmare, which would be also all of us who bought into that as a belief system. But not really, because the false self is very much like a shadow. Just consider your life here like a shadow. It falls over all kinds of terrain, but it's not affected. And as you move through time and space, you are affected only where you believe you are. If you believe you're affected, you will be affected, because it's done unto you as you believe. But if you don't believe you're affected, you're not. So, most of us are kind of different degrees of in and out of that. So we're affected sometimes, and sometimes we're not. So what you have to do when you experience, or you don't have to do it, but you could do it if you choose, is to ask to be shown the way, not to assume you know anything. Just assume you don't know anything and ask to be shown the way. When you're not feeling peaceful, when you're not feeling joyful, when you're not feeling good with yourself, ask to be shown where you stepped out, you know, into the ego's nightmare, where you're acting to your own disadvantage, where you've gone unconscious of your divinity, where you've gone unsensitive to the need to simply be present with your loving. Really, that's all we're here to do, is to be a conduit of divine love. That's our function. That's our purpose. And that's the source of our happiness. And we're never happy when we're not fulfilling our function to be that love. So ask. Ask to be shown where you've gotten in your own way, where you've stepped into the ego's nightmare. I must have chosen wrongly because I'm not happy. I must be looking at something that's not there because I'm in pain. Show me, Lord, where have I? And then look. Don't just sit passively. You have to get in there and look. Because the Holy Spirit will absolutely correct everything that you offer to it. So let's say you, like I did this morning, you know, I got into these areas where I was felt a lot of guilt and pain and didn't know it was there. Real subtle stuff. And everything I saw, I said, take it, Lord. Thank you for showing me that. I know that in highest truth, I've never left the heart of God. It's not real. It's something that the false self is trying to pin on me that never happened. Because you see, the Course in Miracles is very clear in telling us that only the thoughts we think with God are real. And those will be thoughts of love and holiness, perfection, beauty, inspiration. So that the thoughts that we're thinking with the ego never happened in reality. They never happened. The acts that we did out of ego never happened. This is hard for us to imagine. But we have to take Sai Baba and Jesus' word for it. They never happened. All the things you think you did wrong, you never did. Why? Because you can't act apart from God. You have no power to act apart from God. The ego is a thought form. It's not an entity. It has no form. Where can you find the ego? You can see the manifestation of the ego, but where can you find it? It has no form. Sai Baba says it takes the form of the lower mind. But that dissolves with illumination. As soon as you wake up to the fact that you're at home with God right now, absolutely perfect, and none of this stuff ever happened that you're worried about, none of it ever happened, you're not going to be punished, you're not going to go to hell, you're not going to be judged, and you don't need to punish yourself. And moreover, don't try to fix yourself. The more you try to fix yourself, the more of a mess you make of yourself, and the more you reinforce the ego. The ego is the one that's going to tell you, oh, you can fix this. You don't have to go to God. Here, do this self-help technique. Go in this whatever. Do this, do that. It's always telling you what to do. God tells you what you be. God tells you, dooby, dooby, dooby. You know, do be. Do be. But don't do. Don't be a human doing. Be a human being. And so, we're looking at this, and I know it, you know, I really, really suggest you go to God. Go to God. And if you have the guidance to do so, study the Course in Miracles. But whether you study the Course in Miracles or not, there's one creator, God. All the forms that we have attributed to God are different flavors of the same ice cream. They're all one. Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Sai Baba, Krishna, Rama. Put on whatever name, Divine Mother, Amma. Whatever. They're all one and the same. So it doesn't matter. But go to the flavor that you prefer and get immersed in it, get soaked in it until you taste the same, until you taste just the same. It was interesting that the apostles of Jesus, people could tell that they were the apostles of Jesus because they acted like their master. So that's probably the first thing we do, is we try to emulate our master. We're like little ducks, you know, we try to waddle on behind our master and become as much like our master as we can. But at some point you have to stop the waddling behind and the following and step into your own mastery. How is that different from following the ego? Oh, beloved, you don't have to ask that question, because you'll never know when you step into your mastery. It's the odd thing about it. All you know is that the only thing that you live for is to love and give. Love and serve, that's it. And so you'll be so focused on loving and serving, you won't have time to check whether or not you're a master. That's going to be the farthest thing from your mind. Sai Baba said mastery is ego. It's another label we put on ourselves. Oh, I'm master so-and-so. You know what? It's better just to call yourself a servant or a disciple. We're all disciples. Even if we're the greatest Christed master, we're still a disciple of a master that's greater than we are. And so, again, humility, emptiness of self-labeling and self-definition and self-efforting. It's easy. A Course in Miracles says that anything that God would have us do is easy. It's really hard to try to be what we're not. Really hard. People try to be human beings. Very, very difficult to be a human being. Because a human being is halfway there. And we weren't created halfway. You see, the whole idea of evolution is part of the ego's narrative. The ego wants you to believe that you start at the bottom and you work your way up to the top. And that it takes a long, long time. How can that be if you were created indistinguishable from God and never entered into the illusion dream field of time space at all? So to put yourself back at the very beginning, like you had to climb up from the primordial ooze, you know, and a lot of the yogic practices came in at a time before the advent of the Messiah, the Christ, who actually came in to change the entire paradigm on this planet. Everything was shifted with the advent of that pure Son of God, who came to completely show us the right way to live, the right way to relate with each other, with God. It was a show and tell of truth into time space. And he brought in what's called grace, which is the ability of God to take us from where we've gotten ourselves immersed, with the ability to change everything from within us instantly. That's why you can see someone that's just like such a fallen being, just really a messed up person, and they can be changed instantly. That's the effect of grace, because grace comes out of the truth of who and what you are forever. It just completely negates all of the dream time imaginations that we projected and identified with. Just negates them because they're not real, they're not true. So many of the practices that came onto the planet were based on the need to deal with your chakras from the bottom chakra up,
and stir up the kundalini. That's the slow boat to China. Sai Baba said to somebody, somebody was a great kundalini master that was coming for darshan, and they pointed him out to Baba, and Baba said, all ego, no master, all ego. So all of these efforts that we make to purify ourselves, to get to God, from the perspective of the Course in Miracles, are self-efforting we're putting us back at the, you know, at the base level when already we have never left the mountain peak. I know this is just counter to just everything we've believed and been taught. But we're supposed to take a topside down understanding of ourselves rather than thinking of ourselves as at the very bottom rung of the ladder, having to climb up and get back somewhere that we have departed from. So give these things some thought. Talk them over with the Lord. Have your morning God talks and present some of these things to the Lord. And allow the Lord to show you where you have bought into the belief that you need to suffer, that you've done something wrong, that you've, you know, God's got you marked down in his little black book and you're going to be judged. Where did that idea come from? Where did any of these ideas come from? You'll find that they came in with some person who was not enlightened. Someone who was asleep, maybe thought they were awake. But the ones that are truly enlightened, like Sai Baba, like Jesus the Christ, like Gautama Buddha, the 10 avatars of Vishnu, Babaji, they will all tell you that you are divine. You are the Atma itself. You are the indivisible, supreme, absolute. You are being, awareness, bliss, Sat Chitananda. That your nature is bliss. Your nature is love. That you are the blemishless, pure heart of God manifesting into this Maya realm of time, space, and becomingness. But in highest truth, you've never left the heart of God. I think of that beautiful statement in the Bible that we live and move and have our being in God. I think of the incredible vision Sai Baba gave me way back in the mid-70s when I thought I was living in hell here in Los Angeles with all of its graffiti and gangs and ugliness. And he gave me this vision that everything was in his head. It was this ginormous head of Sai Baba, and everything was in it. Me and the world and Los Angeles and everything. And I experienced that I live and move and have my being in God. God is in me, I am in God. Everywhere you are, you're inside God, and God is inside you. Have tea with that. Have tea with that. Let go trying to fix yourself. And keep reminding yourself of your purity and your love. And then match your actions with that. Act from your pure self. Act from your love. Keep bringing yourself back to your perfection. Keep embodying more and more of it till it becomes a habit, and it will become a really the draw, because you'll have such happiness and such peace and such joy the more you do that, that you won't ever think of identifying with anything lesser than your divine self. And notice how every time somebody tells you something that's not true, that's coming out of their sad story, notice how their voice will break and crack, and they'll start to cry. The throat shuts down because it won't give utterance to what's not true. Watch how people always start to cry when they start to tell their sad story. Always. The throat starts to choke and starts to shut down. The throat is meant to be a trumpet of the holy words of God, the divine names of God, the praises of God, the gospel of God, the glory of God. That's what the throat is. The throat is a trumpet to proclaim the glory of God. And we proclaim the glory of God best when we allow the glory of God to completely irradiate every thought, word, and deed. We become the glory of God. And the glory of God is heaven on earth now. And as we live that, we find that we live in heaven now. We live in the golden age now. We live in the new paradigm now. And we never had to leave where we are in this moment, this instant, except in our choice of what we would have real. Our choice of what we would have real. And at any moment, you can always have peace instead of what is trying to capture your attention in the news. You can have peace instead of seeing that. Does that mean we do nothing? In a certain sense, yes. You recognize that the greatest thing you can do is be who you truly are, is to import, like Jesus the Christ did, the purity, love, light, and truth of Almighty God in you and as you. And you keep holding yourself to being accountable to loving. It's really a much simpler life, because you're not out there trying to lord it over everybody and tell everybody what they have to do or should do or all of that. You're very attractive because you're living in love and peace and joy, and people will want to be with you and want to support you when they see that you're living authentically and truly in the love of God. And you don't have to advertise it. In fact, the minute you try to advertise and self-promote, you're back in Egoville. Let your name be silent. Let your actions speak for themselves. And everything then comes to you. The whole of the universe will come to support the Son of God, which is you and me and everyone. So, I trust this has been helpful. Remember that pain comes from guilt. Guilt comes from the belief that you need to be punished for something you did wrong. And Jesus and Sai Baba are here to say, you never did anything wrong. You've never been here at all. And nothing that you did in the nightmare of identifying with the self as the ego and the ego's nightmare, none of that happened or had any effect on you. None of it. Nothing you have to understand, nothing you have to undo. The only thing you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to correct the way you're thinking and show you the way. And give it over, you know, give over all of the ravages of your mind. Sai Baba said, give over all of the torments and worries and ravages of your mind and take from me bliss. So give it over and take the bliss of the Lord. And let's go out chanting on IU with the intention of sending love and light and goodwill and happiness and peace to all of the beings of all the worlds. And that's our intention as we chant on IU. Deep breath. An-I-U. An-I-U. You are the blessings, and you are the grace, and the blessings already are, and the grace forever is. Namaste.